In the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, reading from verse 1, Paul has the following to say. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. For I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. So Paul speaks of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians and chapter 3, he says the following, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. To Paul, Christ was his all. When God, by his gospel, encountered Saul on the road to Damascus as that religious man intent on persecuting the church, raging against Jesus Christ and raging against the followers of Christ, when God encountered him, he changed Saul's life forever. He brought this proud, arrogant, religious man who, with all his learning, had come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ was a troubler in Israel and that those that followed him were blind and deceived. For all his learning, he came to the wrong conclusion. Yet Christ met him on the way and changed him and showed him that all his learning was for naught, and all that he was a sinner through and through. He brought him to his knees, he brought him to nothing, and he showed him that Christ is indeed God Almighty. Christ spake from the heights of glory to this sinner on earth. The resurrected, glorified Son of God spake unto Saul. And Saul heard, and Saul, from the depths of his sin, a dead sinner, was brought to life by the work of the Spirit of God. He was born again and brought to see that Christ was his Saviour. And having been shown this, his attitude, his persuasion, his conviction, his desire from that day on, was that he should count everything as nothing. Count all his achievements, all his standing, all his birth by nature, and count everything that he can do in the flesh as dung, as nothing, that he may win Christ, that he may know Christ, that he may experience Christ, that his walk might not be just based upon the historical memory of past events, that his experience might not just look back to that day on the road to Damascus when Christ spoke to him, or to other days when the Lord encountered him and spoke to him, but that daily, continually, he might know Christ. He might know the faith of Christ, which brought in for him the righteousness of God, that he might know that righteousness, that he might know the cleansing of the blood of Christ, that he might feel that his sins are forgiven and know that he is at peace with God the Father, that he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see, whilst Paul, like us, remained in this world, he remained walking in the carcass of human flesh. Though he had been born again by God, though the gospel had wrought this change in him, there was in him the Spirit of God, which warred with the flesh and the sin within him. He knew the death in his flesh. He knew the death all around him. He saw the blackness and darkness of the world around him. And his hope was that in the end, when his life came to its conclusion, when his work was done, that he with others would be raised again bodily, resurrected from the dead to stand before his Saviour. That was what he was looking for. That was what was set before him. That was what the race that he ran had as its goal, had at the finishing line. And to know that that was going to be his experience in the end, to have the assurance that he would cross that line and would be raised from the dead with a new body, he needed to know on a daily basis the power of Christ's resurrection. He needed to know Christ. He needed to hear Christ's voice. He needed to have the life flowing through him. He needed, as it were, to feel the blood pumping through his body in a spiritual sense. He needed to know Christ's life within. And he knew it through that gospel which brought him from the dead to stand with Christ alive. That gospel which he preached at Corinth, that gospel by which the believers at Corinth, those at Corinth who were once dead, were brought to life to believe with Paul upon the same Christ and Saviour, by which also ye are saved, he says. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, that which brought you to life. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I heard it, and I'm preaching it unto you, that you may hear it and you may know it too, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, then of 500 brethren at once, then of James and the apostles, and last of all, he says, of me also, as of one born out of due time. Saul didn't see Christ physically risen from the dead like the others did. He wasn't there at that day. But Christ appeared unto him. And you today may say that you weren't there. And how can you know? And how can you know that Christ has risen? And how can you know these things are true? You will know when Christ appears and speaks unto you, as he spake unto Saul. Saul had been changed by the gospel, by the declaration of the gospel from Christ himself, by the power of God, the gospel. Christ himself is that power. And that power, Christ, is made known through his message, the gospel. Christ himself is salvation. And salvation is made known through the gospel. It is the gospel and the gospel alone which conveys Christ. If we are to know the power of having Christ's life within, the power of his resurrection, then we will hear his gospel. We will hear him speak. We will hear the voice of the Spirit of God declaring, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We will hear his gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power which brings Christ to his people, by which he brings them to life, by which they, like Christ, are resurrected from the dead. Because that's where we all are by nature. We are dead. And we need to live. We need to be brought to life. And there's one means by which dead sinners are brought to life, and that is by the preaching of the gospel, which declares the resurrection of the dead. The power of God, Christ, and his resurrection. How vital this is. How vital the resurrection is. Which is why Paul desired to know the power of his resurrection in every sense and meaning of the words. He wanted to know it had happened. He wanted to know it would happen in the future. But he wanted to know it was real every day. He wanted to feel the life. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. What do you know of the power of the resurrection? How vital it is to know it. Well, I want to speak to you briefly of the resurrection this morning, in three aspects. First of all, the fact of the resurrection, the reality, the truth of it. Secondly, the necessity of the resurrection. And lastly, the power of the resurrection. Firstly, the fact of the resurrection. It is a fact, a truth, which is declared by the gospel, which we declare unto you to this day, which Paul declared in his preaching, that Christ is raised from the dead, and that there is coming a day when all men, women and children will be raised bodily from the dead, when the dead shall be raised up and all shall stand before Almighty God. It is a fact, but it is a fact which dead men in their hearts deny, because man does not want to believe that he will stand again before God. Because man by nature is a sinner, and man by nature knows he's a sinner, and he does not want to give an account of his deeds. You don't want to give an account of your deeds. You know what you've done. You know what you are. And you shut your ears, you shut your eyes, you shut your mind to the reality, the fact that the day you pass from this world is the day that you will be resurrected to stand before Almighty God, and you will have to answer before him. There is a day of judgment which is approaching. It is a fact, but a fact that we bury our heads in the sand to avoid, that we shut our ears to. Now, at the time when Christ walked in this earth. There were religious men in Jerusalem amongst the Jews. In more than one camp, Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. And that body of men, that religious men, those wise men who studied the things of God and studied the scriptures, that body of men called the Sadducees denied the resurrection. They twisted the things of God up in such a manner that they convinced themselves there was no resurrection. As others do today. And some say the resurrection is past and there will be no bodily resurrection for believers. And some deny the resurrection of Christ. But Paul declared plainly that Christ was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. The resurrection is a fact. It's declared in all four gospels how Christ was nailed to the tree, how they laid him in the grave, and how he rose again and appeared to many witnesses. As it says, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained alive at the time at which Paul wrote this letter. Then he was seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. Paul knew that Christ was raised again. And many of those whom he wrote to at that time knew he was raised again. They'd seen him. They'd seen him. The women had gone to the tomb and found the stone rolled away. He was not there. And later they saw him and they spake unto him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus spake unto the Lord Jesus. And he appeared unto many. It's a fact. It was recorded at the time. He was seen of many. And many witnesses recorded. Now, of course, man, being blind in his sins, will shut his ears to the record of them. No matter how many hundreds saw him, men today will say, oh, that's a long time ago, and close their ears and deny it. But he was seen. And he was seen for a purpose, because God would make this known. God would make known unto this dark and evil world that his son died and his son rose again. He did not do this in a corner. Christ's death, his crucifixion, was a public death seen by many and recorded in the history books and known in the whole world as a fact that happened. And his resurrection was intentionally seen by many. 500 people saw the risen Lord. It was made known. And on the day on which Christ died, God made known in this world what was going on. There was darkness upon the face of the earth for 3 hours. Everyone knew the darkness. No one alive on that day was unaware that something strange happened. There was darkness. And at the end of the darkness, Christ cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And as Matthew says in his gospel, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Dead people in the graves, when Christ rose, others rose. It was not just Christ. So if some say, oh, well, we never saw him, they saw these others. It would have been noted and recorded at the time. What a day, what a weekend, what days these were. Many bodies, many dead people entered the city and were seen of many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And if you by any means saw or knew or see or know any of these things, if God makes known unto you that Christ has risen from the dead, then you will fear with a godly fear and will declare of a truth, truly, this is the Son of God. The Son of God. Yes, Christ truly rose from the dead. He was seen by many witnesses. Jesus spake of this himself. He declared what would happen. He declared what would be. He declared that there must be a resurrection. He declared that there is a resurrection to come. He made plain what would be. And it was proven at the event. And the disciples and the apostles saw, and they knew, and they preached, and they recorded, and they preached it in their message afterwards. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace. And later, Saul, Paul, himself, after the event, as we said, on the way to Damascus, met with the risen Christ. And he could declare, though he came at another point in time, that he is alive. I have seen him. I know him. And it's this point of the resurrection which is so hotly contended. In the latter chapters of the book of Acts, Paul is brought to trial and brought to question. He's questioned by others. And they question him on his belief in the resurrection. They question him. If the truth of the resurrection can be undermined, then as he says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we read earlier, Christ is dead in vain. If the resurrection is not true, then Christ's death is in vain. And we who believe he died, and we who believe he rose again, are of all men most miserable. If our salvation is but for this world, but for this brief moment in time, then we are of all men most miserable. Because the path of the believer in this world is a path of suffering, as the Saviour's pathway was. And the great hope is that one day we with him will be risen again and be with him forevermore. This is a fact. It is a fact that Christ spake of, a fact that happened, a fact that was seen by many people, 500 witnesses at once, a fact that was seen of Paul. And it is a fact which is seen by every believer in Jesus Christ down through history to this very present day. You say, how can I believe that Christ was risen again? That's just what is recorded in a book back then. What have I got today to go on? You have got the true and faithful witness of many who know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who know the power of his gospel, who know the power of his resurrection, who declare unto you, as Saul declared under his generation, the same that we declare in our generation. We declare that Christ is risen indeed. We are not following cunningly devised fables. We are not resting in just written words on a book. But we believe this book, we believe this account, because we've heard the voice of Jesus Christ from on high. Because he has made us who were once dead to live. Christ continues to preach to this day and will continue to preach to the end of time because he lives. And because he lives, his gospel's preached. And because he lives, dead sinners are brought to life. And because they're brought to life, they go forth as Saul did, preaching this gospel. How do we know Christ is risen? Because the risen Christ has made his life known unto us. This resurrection, this need of the resurrection, this fact of the resurrection is made known throughout all the scriptures from the very beginning. An exemplary account is that of Joseph. Joseph in Genesis was betrayed by his brothers, full of jealousy and hatred for this one who was the favorite of their father. Full of jealousy and hatred, his jealous brothers sought to get rid of him. And they threw him in a pit and, as it were, slew him. But he was not actually dead, and eventually he was found by merchants traveling to Egypt and taken down to Egypt by the Ishmaelites and sold as a slave in Egypt. In type and figure, he was slain. But unknown to the brethren, unknown to his brothers, he was then lifted up in Egypt to a great height, thrown into jail. He was delivered from jail, and eventually, with the passing of time, he became second only to Pharaoh, whose dreams he had interpreted. And Pharaoh made this Joseph governor over all Egypt and over all the known world at that time, and raised up to the point of governor. He was placed there at a time of famine, when the world around was dead. There was no food, and without food you died. And Joseph's brethren back home in Canaan were dying. They had no food. And they heard of Egypt and the food that was in Egypt, and they went down to Egypt to bow before the governor in Egypt, to seek bread that they might live. Now, they didn't know that that was Joseph. And they didn't know that Joseph, who they thought was dead, was alive. But they soon knew the power and the effects of his resurrection. Because as governor, as the one who had the food, as the one who could bring life, they would come to feel the effects of his rule, his life, his power, regardless of the fact that they'd never seen him in that role, regardless of the fact that they could not say that they had seen that Joseph was, as it were, risen from the dead. Now, Joseph's a picture of Christ. And Christ died, and Christ has risen again, and Christ is the governor, the ruler of this whole world. And you might not have seen him, and you might not know that he lives, but you feel the effects of his rule, his life, his power. Whoever you are and wherever you are, the fact that you are alive today is because he has given you life. The fact that you have food today is because he has given you food. The fact that your heart beats today is because he keeps it beating. And he can lift you up and he can cast you down. Whether you accept it or reject it, he's the one that keeps you alive. He's the one that can give you food. He's the one that can cast you down into hell. And he's the one that can lead you forth into heaven's glory. Your life is in his hands because he is alive. And you by nature are dead. Whether you've seen him or not, you feel his effects. There is a famine in the land. There is a famine in the land in which we live. The world in which we live. There is darkness and death all around us. There is a famine of the word of God. And yet it's the word of God that you need in order to live. You can have all the earthly food you like. You can eat and drink and be merry. But tomorrow you will die. And what will take you past that death into eternal life? The word of God will. That word which brings life. You need to hear it. You need that life. And it will come from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He's the one who, like Joseph in Egypt, has the food that you need to live. And when you're brought to know that you are starving, that you are dying, that you are dead, then you will go to him. Then you will begin to seek him. Then you will wonder, is there a God? Is there a life after death? What must I do to be saved? Then, like Joseph's brothers, you will go to where he is. And you will stand before him. And you will see that he lives indeed. And if his love is set upon you, his grace is set upon you, he will make himself known unto you. And you will know the power of his resurrection. Well, you see, you have a great need of this resurrection. You have a great need of this resurrection. There is a necessity for the resurrection. It was necessary that Christ rose from the dead. It's necessary that you should rise from the dead. Yet the heart of man denies it. In his second epistle to Timothy, Paul writes to that people, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Deny this resurrection, and your error will lead you into everlasting death. But the Lord knows who are his. The Lord knows if you're his. And if you're his, you will know that he is alive. And you will know that you need him to be alive. Paul speaks of the resurrection in great depth in 1 Corinthians 15, which we read from. Because at Corinth, they disputed the resurrection. They disputed the resurrection in terms of a coming resurrection. They did not so much discuss whether or not Christ had risen, but they were debating and arguing and philosophizing over whether we would physically rise again. But in so doing, they undermined the foundation of the gospel. They undermined the foundation that Christ himself was risen. As Paul says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, when Adam died, when Adam sinned, sin entered this world and death by sin. Man, by man came death, by your sin came death. You die because you sin. But since by man came death, by man also, by man, by the man, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All those who are born of Adam die because of sin, but all those who are born of Christ shall live because of his resurrection and his righteousness. but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son of God also himself be subject under him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. There's coming a day. There's coming the end, when Christ will reign over all his enemies. And when all who die, you and I included, will stand before him. And then you will know whether there be a resurrection from the dead. But Paul knew there was. It was his great hope. He longed, he looked for that day when he would stand with the Saviour. And he rejoiced in the experience of that life in Christ, that he knew every day he journeyed through this world. He rejoiced in the power of the resurrection. The resurrection is necessary because we are dead and we must live. The resurrection is necessary because there is a judgment to come because of our sin and the death which entered by sin. Adam died when he sinned. Sin entered by one man and death by sin. And without a resurrection, that's where we remain. That's what we are by nature. That's all we are by nature, full of sin and dead as a consequence. And if there's no life after death, if there's no heaven and hell, if there's no resurrection, then all you've got is a few miserable years in this world. A few miserable years which go by in a flash, full of trouble and trial, full of violence and anxiety, full of sickness, full of misery. That's all there is, and then people die. And that's all people think there is. So many think that's all there is. And they go around trying to get as much happiness, as they call it, in this world. And yet what they call happiness is so vain and fleeting and passing. They're young but for a moment, and they're old before they know it, and they're dead in the grave before they know it. And if there's no resurrection, what have you got? But there is a resurrection. There is a world to come. There is a God before whom we will stand. There is a judgment to which we must answer. And our hope that we will stand and live and be spared the judgment that sends us to hell is to be found in Jesus Christ and his resurrection and his gospel and his life and his righteousness. Do you know him? Do you know him and the power of his resurrection? Have you this hope that Paul had, that Peter had, that the disciples had, that all the brethren have, that all believers have? Have you this hope? 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Is that your hope? If you have a hope, a lively hope, a hope for the future, a hope that extends beyond a few years upon this globe, then it will be found in Christ and his resurrection. And the joy of that hope as you journey through this world will be found in the power of the resurrection. The power. Consider the power of the resurrection. Firstly, the power as exhibited in Christ himself. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. That's the power which is in Christ in his gospel. He is the life. He has the power to rise from the dead because he is everlasting life. If you have true life, lasting life, life which will lift you up in the resurrection, it's because you have Christ. He has this power in himself. It's not outside of himself. It's not something he had to obtain. It's not something that God gave to him. It's something he has in himself. I am the resurrection. When he died, when he was crucified, when he was slain, he wasn't put into the hands of men, the power of men. He didn't have his life taken away from him by others. He laid it down willingly. And when he rose again, he took it up. He says in John 10:17-18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He has the power. He rose because he had the power to rise. And he has the power to cause dead sinners like you and I to rise. He has the power. Hebrews 7:16 says he has the power of an endless life. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Called not of a carnal commandment, which is dead, but of the commandment of God, of a living commandment, of the power of an endless life. He's a priest forever. He is without beginning and without end. And when he laid down his life as a man upon the cross, he laid it down of his own power. And when he took it again, he took it of his own power, because he's God. He's the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. He's without beginning, without ending. He's everlasting. Before you were, he was. And he always will be. He has the power of his resurrection. When Paul opens the gospel in Romans, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. God made known his power and the power of God in Christ when his Son rose again. If any should ever doubt who this Jesus was, if any that saw Jesus when he was in this world should doubt that his claim to be the Son of God, his claim of divinity was true, that was silenced when this man rose again from the dead. If you doubt who Jesus is, the answer to your doubt is the fact that he had the power to rise again from the dead, and he has risen. And he is alive today, and he preaches his gospel from on high today. But secondly, as Paul longed for, there is the power of this resurrection made known and experienced by God's people. Christ has the power in himself, but we know the power when we know Christ and his gospel. Paul experienced this power. It wasn't something academic. It wasn't something he's read of. It wasn't something he simply believed because he saw it on the pages of Scripture or because he heard the report of others. He heard Christ's voice. He experienced this life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How may we know him? How may we know him and the power of his resurrection? How will you know him and the power of his resurrection? You who are dead, you who are full of sin, you who have no strength. Only when you come to see that. Paul renounced self. He renounced all that he was as a religious man. He renounced all his filthy rags of righteousness. He renounced all his good works. He renounced all his wisdom. He renounced all his birth and lineage. He renounced all that he could take some pride in. And recognized that before God he was nothing. And when he was brought there, then he knew Christ. And then he knew the power of his gospel and the power of his resurrection. And you'll only know this power when you've renounced all that you are and all that you can do. When your pride is ripped to shreds. When you cease to rest in your will, your works, your decision. And know that salvation is of grace from start to finish. When we renounce all our works, all our will, all our way, all that we are, then we will know the power of his resurrection. When we fall down before him as nothing, when we're crucified, when we, like him, experience, as it were, his death, when we're crucified, when we know that we were crucified with Christ upon the cross, when self is slain, then we will know his life. Paul says in Galatians, I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, did he love you? Did he give himself for you? Was he laid in the grave for you? Will you on that last day with him rise again victorious? Because he took away your sin. He took away the flesh. He took away the old man Adam. He took away all that kept you out of glory. He took away you, your old man, and made you to be new and alive again in Jesus Christ. Oh, will you rise with him? Or are you of all men most miserable? Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not vain in the Lord. And may you, with Paul by God's grace. Know Christ, because you are nothing. Oh, may you know Christ and the power of his resurrection.